Good morning. We're going to be carrying on our reading this morning in the book of John, and we'll be looking at chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. And if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 761, it's John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Wendy. Good morning. You need to have your Bibles open at John 14. Verse 15, we'll only be looking at verses 15 to 17 this morning. The little prayer cards that have been done out, they look like this, entitled Experiencing the Spirit Through Jesus. I actually have on the back a number of thanks and prayer points, and actually they summarize the blocks of teaching that you have in these chapters concerning the Holy Spirit as Jesus gives them. So I just commend that to you, because I'm going to pray in a moment, not using them all, but using some of them. Let us pray. Father, we believe in you today, only because the Holy Spirit has told us about you, and the Holy Spirit who lives inside us says, Abba, Father. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, only because of the Spirit having written concerning him and opened our hearts to believe in him. Therefore, we thank you, dear Spirit, for your reality amongst us this morning. You are the counselor come to aid us and help us while Jesus is in heaven. And we thank you that you've given us a written truth, full truth, in order that we might know what it is to love and obey Jesus. We confess it's not easy to love and obey Jesus. There are things that he commands us that we don't particularly like. But we thank you that you are within us in order that we might actually love and obey Jesus and learn how to do that. So please continue to with us today. Help the preacher to preach and to preach with clarity. And help us, all of us, preacher included, to actually be praying that we might be changed by the truth that you've given us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit. Actually, he's already been talking about the Spirit in John's Gospel. There are a number of references to the Spirit. In John chapter 1, verses 32 to 34, we find that Jesus was filled with the Spirit at his baptism. He also promises, in fact, to baptize his followers with the Spirit. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that he needed a supernatural work of the Spirit inside him if Nicodemus was going to truly believe in Jesus or in God. Jesus also said in John chapter 3 that when he spoke the words that he was giving to his disciples, he did so with the Spirit who he had without limit upon his life. Jesus also defined true worshippers that God wants as worshippers who worship in spirit, capital S, and in truth, capital T, John chapter 4. And in John chapter 7, famously, Jesus said, if anyone was thirsty, they should come to him and drink, and from out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And he was meaning the Spirit who would come when Jesus had ascended. So when Jesus introduces the Spirit here in John chapter 14, it is really in a detailed way that he is introducing the Spirit. He has already been speaking of him before that. There are five blocks of teaching regarding the Spirit in these chapters. They are vitally important for our understanding of the person and the work of the Spirit. And in my own thinking, I have found them foundational to my understanding, and everything else has been built from there. For my dear friends, let me just say this to you. The person who understands the Holy Spirit most of all has to be Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He is the second person of the Trinity, who always had fellowship with the third person of the Trinity. And the second and the third persons of the Trinity always had fellowship, of course, with the first person of the Trinity, who is God himself. So for me, at least, they are foundational in understanding what it means to experience the Spirit, and therefore Jesus through the Spirit. Let's remind ourselves that Jesus is leaving his disciples, and he's going home to the Father. And he's going home to the Father through the cross. And so it is at this point, the point of his departure, his leaving, his going home, that Jesus now talks about the Spirit coming. You could argue, I think if you look through this passage that we're in just now, that actually this reference to the Spirit and the detailed teaching of the Spirit is really completing the circle of love around the family of God. Throughout this passage and in others, there's reference to the Father who loves, reference to the Son who loves, and now reference to the Spirit. The circle of love is being completed, my friends. And can I also plead with us, therefore, although we can identify what the Father does, and we can identify what the Son does, and we can identify what the Spirit does, they actually belong together. There is a great danger in separating them, isn't there? And throughout church history, we have gone wrong in relation to the Spirit because we have separated the work of the Spirit from the Father and from the Son. And if you study John's verses here, you'll discover that the Father and the Son figure very heavily in relation to the Spirit. So here we are. In one sense, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit if we are followers of Jesus. That's good news. But actually, Jesus also says that the Father and the Son come and live within us and make their home within us. Verses 23 to 24. And therefore, that controls everything in this passage. The love that the triune God has for us is primary. And therefore, in this circle of love, love calls to love. So, therefore, we respond to them in love. And the evidence of love is not feelings. Hello, 21st century. It involves feelings, of course. I'm not setting them outside. I'm not saying there are not affections for Jesus to be in our souls. Didn't say that. But the primary way love expresses itself is in obedience. And I think we need to hear that more than we do. So here they are, they're moving towards us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they love us because Jesus died for us on the cross, rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. We all know that. It's old hat. And then we respond backwards to them by loving them and obeying what they say. So come with me to verses 15 through 17. And let's look at the promised Spirit as Jesus begins to talk about him. If I'm right, and you can check the text, that the essential feature of following Jesus is to love him so that we obey him, then what is going to be said about the Spirit is critical. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Here's our Lord Jesus, and he has captivated our hearts, and his teaching is very important to us, isn't it? I could ask you the question, that's why you're here today. It's a good question to ask, isn't it? It's a good question to ask yourself, isn't it? Well, I'm here because I traditionally come to TCM. It's my habit. That's good. It's a good habit. Well, I like to be socially engaged with people. And it's nice to connect with people who are fairly nice and a bit like myself. Well, that's good to connect socially, isn't it? But why are we here today? We are here today, essentially, I would suggest that we want to engage with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they want to do so with us, and they do so through the Bible. In other words, we want to take notice of the whole teaching of Jesus, and therefore the commands that come out of the whole teaching of Jesus. It's very important. I think that's how it's phrased. Look at verses 23 to 24. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, everything he says. What's his teaching essentially about? My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So the whole teaching is about this relationship that the triune God has with us. That's the whole teaching. And then out of that comes the commands, specific commands. We've already had two in these studies. Number one, we are to love one another, end of John chapter 13. And the other command, well, it's an exhortation, chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, we are to pray corporately together that the greater works of conversion will be done amongst us and within our culture. We pray for dead sinners to come alive and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's a miraculous thing, isn't it? For anyone to love and obey Jesus is a miracle, isn't it? It is the greatest miracle of all. And here we are gathered together as the followers of Jesus, the family of Jesus, and we are here today because we're in this relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and we want to learn how to love and obey more. And in particular, if we really appreciate the Lordship of Jesus and this incredible relationship that the whole teaching of Jesus underlines to us, then we will give ourselves to him in obedience. And we will not seek to disobey him. Oh, well, but this is so daunting and demanding, isn't it? Well, it is for me anyway. Which is why Jesus understands that. If you love me, keep my commands. And then, he says, immediately introduces the Spirit. And of course, he understands that it's hard to do what he says. It's not natural to us, is it? It's natural to go my own way, isn't it? Well, it is for me. And it is supernatural for me to choose Jesus at any given moment during the week. when nobody else is looking? Who will drive my life in the decision making from Monday right the way through to Sunday and all of that unfolding? So Jesus understands it. It's good news for us. But he has three things to say about the Spirit, and I just give them to you, and then I'm going to sit down. Number one, the Spirit is a love gift from the Father and the Son. Lovers like to give gifts to each other, don't they? And I'm sure that's a good thing to do, isn't it? All the expensive gifts are saved for the loved one. You know, if there's lesser gifts for the lesser people in our lives, but for the loved one, we've really got to think about it and spend some money on it, haven't we? And you know what I'm talking about. But actually, lovers just don't want gifts. You can't buy love. You have to give yourself entirely to the other person, warts and all, for there to be love. And the Spirit is a love gift from the Father and the Son. And I will ask the Father, verse 16, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Throughout these passages, there is great reference to the Spirit being sent from the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 14:26. The Father will send in my name. Look at 15:26. Whom I will send from the Father. That's Christ speaking. Look at 15:26. The Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father. Look at 16 verse 7. I will send him to you. That's Christ speaking again. And so, my friends, let's understand that as the Spirit comes, he's coming in his entirety as a person, and the Father and the Son are giving themselves also in the entirety of their persons. And if the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son, and if Jesus so loved us that he gave himself, then the Spirit comes in his entirety in relation to the Father and the Son. He's a love gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore it's quite clear there that we have a Trinitarian faith. And again, we're keeping them together, though the Spirit is more focused upon here because Jesus focuses on him. So the Spirit is a love gift from the Father and the Son. Secondly, the Spirit remains forever and never leaves. You catch that in verse 16? To be with you forever. There will never be an announcement in any church from the front that the Holy Spirit is leaving us or has left us. The Spirit remains within the church until Jesus returns in all his glory at the end of the age. There is no leaving of the church by the Holy Spirit. There is no leaving of the church by the Holy Spirit. The true church, anyway. The church that is gospel-centered. The church that is Bible-based and Bible-obeying. The church that seeks, indeed, to live in obedience to the Father and the Son. There is no leaving of the Spirit. And can I say it to myself as well, I say it to you, that the very mark of the Spirit, chiefly amongst us, is that we become more and more like Jesus. And Jesus at heart was a man who loved and obeyed the Father. There may be other aspects of the Spirit's ministry that Jesus does not touch on, therefore I'm not touching on. But that is crucial for our understanding this morning. In other words, the great help of the Spirit this morning is that he may help us to love and obey Jesus. We may be supernaturally healed or not. We may have significant spiritual experiences or not. But let it be absolutely clear to our minds this morning, to love and obey Jesus and glorify the Father is essential to the work of the Spirit. We feel our inner weakness here, don't we? Well, at least I do. It's so natural for me, as I have said, to choose myself rather than Jesus, even as a family member. It's so much easier to obey sin, isn't it, than to obey the Lord. So is it not good news for us this morning that we have supernatural help by the Spirit who remains with us forever and never leaves us? Thirdly and finally, the Spirit and his role within the church. Jesus identifies his role and we can see it. Now, I want to be absolutely clear. I'm not going to say everything about the Spirit this morning. All right? Do we hear that? Because somebody might say to me afterwards, now they won't, well, you never mentioned this aspect. Well, of course I didn't. It's not in the text that is before us. So, there are other blocks of teaching to be considered. Bear them in mind. And other things have yet to be added. And even then, we will not have said everything that the Bible has to say about the Spirit. Well, there are two titles about Jesus, about the Spirit, that Jesus underlines. And again, let me reiterate, it's all about this relationship that the Father and the Son has with us. It's all about that and how we love and obey them. And the Spirit's ministry, as identified by Jesus, is all about that. So there are two titles. Here's the first. In verse 16, he's another counselor. That will be said in chapter 14, 26 and 15, 26. You may have a different version before you. It may say helper, not counselor. It may say comforter or advocate, which tells you something. There is a very rich Greek word here, paraclete, and we don't know how to translate it adequately into English. Hence, the virgins can't make their minds up fully as to what expresses this word. But undoubtedly, my friends, he is a helper. He has come to help us as a family to love and obey Jesus. You're going to get that message this morning. That's the drumbeat all the way through this teaching. The Spirit is a person. Jesus calls him a him or a he, not an it. Spirit is neuter in the Greek, and you would anticipate Jesus saying it. But the Spirit is not an it. He's not a wind. He's like a wind, but he's not a wind. He's a person. And I still hear the Holy Spirit being referred to as an it sometimes. Not heard it in TCM, take the pressure off. But he's not an it. It's the way you insult people, isn't it? Sometimes. We used to do it in the playgrounds. Oh, there's it coming. It was normally a reference to me. I don't know why that was. I thought I was a nice guy. Shame about the brown shoes, but that's another story. But he's not an it. He's a fully fledged person. Paraclete means one called alongside to help. The Father and the Son summon the Spirit to come and live inside the family. That's who's doing the summoning here. If this was a court situation, then he could be regarded as a legal advocate who would help us through the whole process of the court situation and even present our case before the judge. That would be a help, wouldn't it, if you're in court? But it's too narrow a view. The Spirit is more than a legal help. He's our friend. As a loving friend, he's come to give us aid. The aid that Jesus gave his disciples whilst he was on this earth. What did Jesus do to help the disciples? He taught them. He assured them. He strengthened them. He warned them. He rebuked them. He comforted them. He was all of that to his disciples. And another counselor, another helper, another comforter has come to do that ministry for you and for me. We are not poorer off because Jesus is in heaven. We are richer because the Spirit lives inside us. The term counselor, if we're going to use it, we need to understand something here. Because when we think of counselor, we might think of a marriage counselor. We might think of some other form of counseling. And I'm not belittling counseling, or some of it anyway. But it's all mostly non-directive, isn't it? You never tell anybody what to do. You've got to find that out for themselves. Well, I have to tell you, my friends, that the Spirit who is our counselor is very directive. As we will see in a moment, he's the Spirit of truth. And he doesn't ask us to make our own mind up and come to our own opinions and be our own self-authority. He says, you have to come to the truth with me, and I will direct you to the Father, and I will direct you to the Son through the truth. So he is another counselor. He is a distinct person in his own right, yet he has the same nature as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's another counselor. That's the first aspect of his role. But he's also the Spirit of truth. Jesus says so in verse 17, who remains with us forever. Primarily, as we will see in unfolding studies, this means that the disciples who are present in the upper room will be given the Spirit in order to write the scripture for us, which is the New Testament. So primarily this means to the apostles uniquely, that they will receive clear revelation about Jesus and all that he has done in a saving way. We have the words of Christ in the New Testament. And he directs us to those words, as well as the Old Testament, in order to have a relationship with God the Father and God the Son. So the Spirit is the source of truth. All truth comes from him. Christ, of course, has already said that he too is the truth. And the Father, of course, is the true God. And so it's not surprising, therefore, my friends, that the Spirit is the truth, and he loves the truth. Why are we studying the Bible in TCM this morning, if we are? Why are you sitting there while I'm doing a lot of talking? Well, because we want to be taught the truth as we find it in Scripture. You may not like my style, and you may not always like my personality. I understand that. I take the pressure off by saying it to you. But we are to study Scripture together. And these are not my words and not my opinions. The Spirit of truth has given us truth. And he hates the lie. And the scriptures have been written so that we may understand the Father. And we may understand the Son in relation to the Father. And therefore the Spirit in relation to the Father and the Son. So that this relationship, this circle of love, may be very precious to us. You have the family home for Christmas. I don't know what your family Christmases are like. Maybe some of them are not so great. So I need to be careful with the illustration, don't I? But many of us like the family coming home. And it's all complete. You know, squawking grandchildren and all that stuff now. But nonetheless, even with all that noise, the family's home. And if that's a nice feeling, if it's only for 5 minutes, or maybe a weekend, how much more should we as the church, this morning, at this moment in time, sitting in these pews, whatever your life situation is like and whatever mine is like, that we are surrounded by the most glorious circle of love that there could ever be. and that could ever be given to human beings. And how do you know? The Spirit of Truth wrote it down for us. And that is really underlined to us as I finish by Jesus' reference to the world now in verse 17. This Spirit who lives within us forever, and then he goes on to talk about, I found my glasses, wonder where they were. I thought I'd left them over there, but I didn't. Silly man. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The world, what is the world? The world is all unbelieving humanity who are against God and will have nothing to do with Jesus. That is what the world means. And the world, therefore, is marked by a total rejection of Jesus because the world is without the Spirit. The world is not born again, it is dead and it is blind. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. And you know what that feels like, don't you? As you go back into your workaday world tomorrow, and you talk whatever you talk about, and you'll just see that there are blind and hard people to God and to the Lord Jesus. We're not denigrating them. We're not being unkind towards them. We're not even judging them. But that's the reality, isn't it? The decision-making that's taking place in the work context, the decision-making that is taking place within the family context from which they come, none of them have anything to do with Jesus and therefore with the Spirit. We're blind to it. Oh, me. The Spirit do his great work of opening their eyes to understand and opening their hearts to believe. Isn't that true? In contrast, the church is marked by a total love of Jesus that obeys him because the Holy Spirit lives inside us. You see, what we follow marks our lives. What we follow marks our lives, inevitably so. So what we're truly worshipping will be seen in our daily living, in the way we speak, the way we act. And if we're truly following the Lord Jesus Christ by the person and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we will love and obey Jesus. And we will be following him with clear understanding that all this following, as hard as sometimes it is, and the weaknesses that afflict our lives, but we will know that we're making our way all the way home to the Father, where Jesus is, where we will always love and obey. This is the mark of the church. The mark of the church is not just sound teaching. The mark of the church isn't just having fellowship together. The mark of the church isn't simply gathering together on a Sunday from time to time or on a Wednesday or other times, though those are the marks of the church. But it is the church saying to each other at the end of this service, how do we love and obey Jesus more? And spur each other on to love and good works as we see the day approaching. I'm almost finished. Romans 8, just two passages to read to you in relation to the Spirit. It's probably the greatest chapter, I think, on the Spirit, other than John chapter 14 through 16. And I just want to read just two extracts for you in relation to all of this. Verses 9 to 11, firstly. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit lives in you, controlled by the Spirit. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. It's the marker, you see, isn't it? But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. That's true, isn't it? We are dying in our bodies. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. In other words, we're going to get perfect bodies at the end of the age when Jesus comes again. We are the people who are not controlled by the sinful nature. We are the people who are controlled by the Spirit. And if you want to know the ultimate brilliance of that, is that as you have a dying body, as I have, one day we will be raised to perfect bodies, as Jesus has been raised from the dead. You can't separate the work of the Spirit from Christ. Then Romans 8, 14 through 17. Because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God or children of God. We're all led by the Spirit, by the way. This is not some special category of Christians who've become elite in any way. We are all led by the Spirit. We're being taught by the Spirit. We're being assured by the Spirit. We're being filled by the Spirit. We're being rebuked by the Spirit. We're being warned by the Spirit. So we're all got the Spirit of Christ. And therefore, if all have the Spirit of Christ, we're all led by the Spirit of Christ. Just clear that up. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit, capital S, of sonship, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. Intimacy with God, the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, the inside bit of our lives, that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. What marks the church, as opposed to the world, is that we can see and know the Spirit, which means that we can see and know Christ as our Lord, and we can see and know God as our Father. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, as defined and taught by Jesus.